All right, so let's get back into Mem Hei Amabeis. We're going to set up this Gemara, but we'll come back and define this after we go through the Rov Karov stuff. Okay. All right. So who's reading today? Sota. Gana, you read.
We have new memory.
Nah, I just got here. Gana, read. Okay, the Osha Nimsa, O Le'ir Sheimba Bezdin. Okay, so what did the Mishnah tell us? That if the Chalal is next to a city that has no Bezdin, right, you don't bring Negel Arufa. So what does the Gemara say? All right, because the Pasuk says that the Zikni Ha'ir have to leave the city to go do Medida, right? And unfortunately, if you don't have a Bezdin, you don't have what? Zakanim. So Zakanim here mean Bezdin. Okay, fine. But then if you remember, because you do remember, Gano, the Mishnah then says, Ein Modinin El Le'ir She'eshba Bezdin, which seems superfluous. So the Gemara is about to ask, Pshita. Right, so don't we know that? Don't we? Once we say that it's a city that doesn't have a Beis Din, don't we therefore, by definition, know that you don't do Medida unless there's an ear with a Beis Din, right? So how come Ashmalan? Minayin. Tamalomar. Okay, so very interesting. We'll come back to this, but it's very interesting. One second, Adam. What's really interesting about this? What's interesting, in my opinion, is that... I shouldn't say that. What's interesting about the Gemara's conclusion? What's bizarre?
It almost sounds like the answer is like, if that city, so therefore we said it. Meaning, why didn't you say it twice?
The answer is that when it says... what does it mean that it has to be imodin in el ear... Sheishba Bezdin. It's the Chiddush is teaching you is that what would you have thought? You have thought that when it says Karov, the city closest to the corpse is the one that now must do Egla Rufa. Now let's say that city doesn't have a Bezdin. So what should you say at that point?
Stop there.
Thank you. Stop. There's no Egla Rufa. And yet, what do we say? We keep going. So then now we're something very bizarre because what's happening here? We're sacrificing Karov for Bezdin. So you're seeing now, that's what makes Egla Rufa so bizarre. On the one end, as you'll see, there's this desire to be hyper-precise about Medida, but then they're willing to like just ignore the rules and say, well, we said Karov, we don't really mean Karov. We mean the city that has the Beis Din Karov.
Well, that's
you're right. But if the objective is in some way to ascertain some type of probability, which everyone yesterday was yelling at me about,
right.
You just sacrificed probability.
No,
of course you did, because you did. Yeah, but one second. Where did the murderer most likely come from? The closest city? Ready, Yuri? So let's take out the extreme. We have a city that's 5 feet away, right? No Beis Din. We have the next closest city is 25 miles away, and it has a Beis Din.
Right.
Where did the murderer probably come from?
Oh, that's
the closest city.
The closest city.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet?
We don't do it. Why? Because the system calls for being able to atone for it, and you can't without the
system. Oh, you're borrowing my idea.
Yeah.
You're borrowing the Kapar idea. Let's get a little introduction to how Rov and Karov work, okay? And anyone in the future, if you ever guys go for Smicha and you do Yoredeya, you get into what's called Sveika. It's all about these types of cases, okay? So look at the first part. Halacha Psukahi. Ayadei Rov. All right, so I love this little introductory piece because keep in mind, what is Rov trying to do? What's the objective of Rov?
Rov cities we're talking about?
No, forget cities. Just in general. No, we're not talking about Egla Rufa. Just in general.
He's trying to collapse.
Because what do we have in front of us? We have a suffix.
Yeah.
We have a suffix, right? We have a doubt. We have a suffix. So Rov is a mechanism that we employ to go ahead and resolve a suffix, right? We're not sure about something, right? Now, keep in mind, again, we know being unsure will never know the definitive. So we employ Rov as a mechanism to machriya the suffix. Come on, Gano. Chanuyos. So like I told you yesterday, what's the case? You have 9 stores that are selling kosher meat and one that's selling nevela. Okay? V'nimtza. L'faneinu. And you come across a piece of meat in front of you on the table. Right? There's a table set up. In your house you have a piece of meat, you're not sure where it came from, okay? It definitely came from one of those 10 stores, we're not sure which one, okay? Vinolad. Right, so what's the suffix? Which store it came from, okay? Holchem. We use rov. Ukasha rov achanuyos. Okay, that's again, intuitively that seems to make sense. We'll explore it a little further, but...
Two to one, like rope?
Yes, although it depends on the case, but yeah. It's easier to think in terms of the extreme. Okay? It's easier that way. So we have another way of resolving a suffix, which is called karov, proximity, kagon. All right, so, okay, you got to be very careful with the language here. In the first case, I have a piece of meat, and I'm not sure where that meat came from. Now, this case is where, well, it's a suffix, heter, suffix, iser, in the very piece itself. I'm not sure, I'm saying this carefully, I'm not sure if it's kosher or treif. The yesh betzida. For now, yes.
How does the suffix arrive?
Just listen. The yesh betzida. Arima shel heter. Arima, yeah. Vacheres. Okay, so what's the case? So I come across two piles of meat, okay? Here is a pile of kosher meat. Here is a pile of treif meat. And there's a piece of meat, right, in between the two piles, sitting in between the two piles. So what do I say? So we say, Vachaticha hamesupekes nimtsas munachas b'makom karov yosher l'achas mehen holech achar karov. So if that piece is, you like that? Okay, so if the piece of meat is closer to the kosher pile, how do I machria the suffix? I say it's kosher. And if it's closer to the treif side, I say that it is treif. Okay? So that's another way of probability. So if you look at the Mishnah on Chaf Gimel Mabez, Hashobach. All right, so what did you find? So Nepal, what is Nepal?
A dove chicken.
Okay, that you find where? You find within 50 amos, right? Within the 50 amos near the birdhouse. Harehu shabala shovach. We can say it belongs to the owner of the birdhouse. I don't care why 50 amos, okay? The point is that if I find it within a certain circumference of the birdhouse, it belongs to the guy who owns it. Chutz bin chamishim ama, harehu al shomotso. If it's outside the circumference, it belongs to whoever found it. Okay, so whatever that, I don't care what that amount is. It doesn't matter. The point is that there's a certain point, there's a certain proximity near the birdhouse that we say it's still owned by the guy who owns the birdhouse. And if it's further from that proximity, we say it's owned by the guy who finds it. Okay? Nimsa. Now let's say you find the bird between where? Between two birdhouses. Okay? Mechza al mechza, yachluka. Okay, so let's say the bird, if it's in between two birdhouses, it's just like the two piles of meat. Whichever birdhouse is closest to, that's who it belongs to. Okay, so far so good. Okay, so let's look at the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Yikes. Okay, so if we have a situation where we have a convergence of rov and karov. Okay, which system do we use? Rove. Okay, and unfortunately, the Gemara does not really give us any reason why. That's what makes it so difficult. Forget why you rely on Rove or Karov. There's a certain intuition there. But the Gemara never says, oh, I'll tell you why Rove versus Karov, because of X. Fine. So what does the Gemara say? The Alpha, Gav. So that's an excellent Kasha. Because what did the Gemara first think? The Gemara first thought, okay, well, there must be something about Rov that lends itself to being adif, to be more reliable, or the ideal lacha choice than Karov, right? But the Gemara says, yeah, but one second, you can't say that because they're both Doraisa, right? Now, let's be careful, right? Since I'm sure you guys know this. The source for Rov is where in the Torah? Acharei Rabban Lahatos, right? Which is a general principle. We go after the majority. And when Karov is brought down where? Just Egla Rufa. All right, so you got to be careful. They're both Daraisa, but it's interesting that Achrei Rav Mahatos is kind of brought down as a general principle. Karov happens to be something specific, is a more specific case-driven idea. It's a circumstance, okay? Okay.
What part about it in that circumstance?
What?
What about it in that circumstance?
So on the surface, if you read Egla Rufa, you would think that what do you employ? You use Karov, okay? Okay, so what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, Afilu Hachi, keep going. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right, they're both Daraisa, but still, nonetheless, Rov is Adif. All right, we're going to have to explain, this is very hard, but we're going to have to explain why. I brought in this Rav Shmuel guy because I think he's very nice. But we have to explain why you would say Rov would beat out Karov. Okay? All right, but let's just get the whole picture of the Gemara. So now the Gemara says, oh, this is great, okay? Okay, but one second. But how can you tell me that Rov always beats out Karov? Doesn't it say by Egla Rufa that the city that's closest to the Chalal is the one that brings the Egla Rufa, right? So doesn't it sound like what we're relying on is Karov? The Alpha Gav. So what does that mean? Meaning like if I have, using our circle, okay? If I have a town that's a mile away, right, that has four people, and I have a town that's 4 miles away that's got a gazillion people, okay? I it sounds like I would still go by the closest town. But why? Why would I do that?
Wait, you would go by the closest town?
Yeah, I thought we said Rove.
Yes.
We just said the opposite.
No, I know. It's saying the Torah seems to say you go by the one that's Karov. But why? But if Rove beats out Karov, why would you go by the closest town? Tell me Rove beats out Karov. But yet it seems like I go by Karov, the Afagav, the Ika Achrisi, the Nefisha Minei, even though I know there are cities that have more population in them. Meaning again, if I have a city that's 5 feet away with four people, and a city that's a mile away with a million people, I go by the Karov city. But why? If Rov beats out Karov, that shouldn't be the case. So the Gemara says, Biddeleka. This is a very, very troubling answer. The Gemara has two options in front of it. It could either defend how Karov, meaning it could scale back its adherence or its commitment to the principle of Rove beating out Karov. It could have said, no, there are exceptions. There are situations where Karov beats out Rove. It refuses to do that. The Gemara does not want to do that. Rather, what does the Gemara say? Bidaleka. What does Bidaleka mean?
There is a situation where there's no other option.
Meaning that, of course, we always go by Rove. If the city's 5 feet away, that's four people, and the other city that's a mile away is a million people, of course we go by Rove. But what do we have a situation? Just let me say it. What if we have a situation where we have all the cities around the area, whatever we decide that circumference is, okay, have exactly the same amount of inhabitants, 100, 100, 100, 100, 100. Then we deal with Karov, okay? I agree. Now, what's troubling about this? Other than, forget the possibility of everyone having, no, forget the logistics. I don't care. Logistics is not for this year. That's a different separate. I don't care about logistics. What I want to know is, what's difficult to understand here? What's difficult to understand? Yeah.
Why does one mechanism trump the other if they're both Midaraisa?
Okay, but that's the original question. We have to answer that. We have to answer that. But what's strange, in other words, what's strange about Egla Rufa?
It literally says, go by Karov.
Exactly. If I read the Psukim, okay, it's telling you go by Karov. All right. Now what it's really saying is that, you see, what's very difficult when you learn the Psukim is that you want Egla Rufa to be a case that's teaching you like a universal, right? It's teaching you like, okay, well, this is the halacha by Egla Rufa. That's not what the Torah is telling you, according to the Gemara. What the Torah is telling you is 99% of the time, I'm exaggerating for a reason, it's always going to be Rove, right? But it happens to be in a situation where they're all equal inhabitants, we go by Karov. That's very bad. That's not good. It says, the Lazel Busser, Dalma. What does that mean?
Really? Why don't we just go with the whole world as a favorite?
Yeah, meaning we should go by Rove Anshe Olam. Right? Now, what? That meaning what? Meaning, right? Meaning the majority of the people don't live here. They live there, right? So you know what we should do? We should contrast the closest city to the population of the world, right? That's how, in other words, if we took Rove to its logical extreme, and it's such a great Gemara. The Gemara is saying, one second, you're going to tell me that Karov is an exceptional case. Forget that. Why even bother? The Gemara is trying to rescue the idea. It's almost trying to say Karov could never apply. In other words, it's not just that Rove, it's not just that Rove is adif to Karov. What the Gemara is saying is that Karov has no room to operate. Because what can I always say? I can always look at this city that's closest and the rest of the world, right? And you're always going to say there's more people outside of that city than in the city. So you should always say that's the case. And then Egla Rufa, whatever, basically never happened. Okay? We'll see the Gemara's answer. It says, Deanna, what does the Gemara say? It says, So 1 second. So this should make you, let's understand the facts, okay? The Gemara's conclusion is, when you see the case of Egla Rufa, you are looking at a hyper-specific case. Forget Adama and all that other stuff. Even more specific, the only case of Egla Rufa that could ever exist halachically is as follows. You find a body, right? Or you're in the mountains, okay, in a mountainous area, okay? So that takes out, that erases basically what? How much of Eretz Yisrael? A lot of it, okay?
Everything along the coast.
You're in a mountainous region. And you come across a dead body that happens to be located between two cities in that mountainous region. Okay? Now, in that situation, what do we say? The likelihood is that the murderers don't come from outside, or I should say visitors don't come from outside the mountainous city areas to visit the cities. Most likely, the murderer came from one of those cities that's in the mountains, because it's a real schlep to go into the mountains. We say vadai that the murderer came from one of those two cities, right? Even though the majority of the people live outside of the mountainous city area, even though that's true, at the end of the day, we say, but those people won't travel into the mountains. They don't go into these mountainous cities. So when you read the Parsha in Egla Rufa, realize you're talking about a very, very specific situation, hyper-specific. Okay, let me clarify that again. It's an important point. We neutralize Rove. Because we say that it's true. There's no question that there are more people. There's billions of people outside the states of the mountains. But the reality, the quote unquote reality is that the only people, those people won't go into the mountainous area. In other words, in the mountainous area, the people who live there, they're the ones who live in that area. We don't worry about visitors. Okay. Which, by the way, as you'll see, will dovetail into the issue of an international city, which we're going to get to also when it comes to Yerushalayim. But we'll get to that. Yeah. What's up, Adam? From a methodology standpoint, you have to be very careful approaching this area. Very cautious. You have to have caution here because it's very difficult to define. Because you're not going to be able to define why Rove. That's impossible. Okay? Or why Karov. Because we're dealing with probabilities, right? I mean, clearly Rove and Karov are talking about possibilities. It's going to be very hard to define to say it is.
Oh.
I agree it is.
So why were you fighting that?
Because I was talking about the Meiri. Not everyone else. So when it comes to, so I don't want to hear a svara of, why do we hold a Rove? Because it's axiomatic. In other words, if you ask me why do we abide by what the majority says, right? So that you can give me a philosophical answer, but I don't think you can give me like a halachic answer. Rather than worry about why Rove and Karov, which I don't think you can answer, I prefer to understand what's the mechanism. In other words, I think you asked before, why can't the halachic system just say, what do you call it? We don't know. Let's take the case of, I find a piece of meat. I have a piece of meat in my house. I'm not sure where it came from, right? I'm not saying we should be machmir. I'm just saying there's something Rove is trying to accomplish that the halachic system doesn't want to tolerate. So the case is, I have a piece of meat in my house. I'm not sure where it came from. I look outside. There's 9 kosher stores and 1 treif store. So I could say, Rove says it came from the kosher store. So what's the halachic system trying to do? Clearly, so the problem the halachic system faces is, we can't tolerate an idea of an object being in the state of suffix. Because in halacha, objects have statuses, right? It's either A or it's B. Now, a suffix means what?
We don't know what the status
is. It's indeterminate, right? So the reason why we turn to something like a rove or a karov is because what's our objective? Our objective is to figure out, is to produce some type of positive chal l'shem in the object. Whether it means it's treif or kosher. The point is that halacha can't have an idea of an actual indeterminate state existing in an object, halachically speaking. Halacha deals in absolutes, not in grays. So it's either it's kosher or it's treif. But to say that it's indeterminate is an intolerable possibility. So rove or karov is just a mechanism that we employ to allow a positive chal l'shem to emerge. Okay, that's step one. So step one, I think, is a very intuitive and basic step, is that we don't want, halacha doesn't want objects flying around in an indeterminate state. We can't have that. It's either A or B. Okay? Right? So far, so good?
And either rove or karov
either way you go, but that's accomplishing the same objective. Either you say it's usser or you say it's mutter. But the point is that to allow it to exist in an indeterminate state is not possible. Okay? Now let's understand. Now let's take up this guy here. All right? This is very interesting. Yeah. Beerer. Okay, so maybe you'll say, okay, I have to help you guys with this a little bit, okay? Maybe you'll say that Karov is, what it called, is, Beerer means a clarification, okay? So, Karov does not work the same way as Rov. Okay, they're both trying to ascertain probability, but as you're going to explain, the mechanism of Rov is much different than the mechanism of Karov. That's why I happen to like this pshat a lot. Ella Beerer Dinhu. This is beautiful. I mean, this is almost like I found this to be poetic insofar as this abstract idea. It's such a beautiful idea. So there's two halachas by Suffolk. Number one, Shetstideh, Suffolk. Okay, so one possibility is that both sides of the Suffolk are really a complete doubt. Ella. Koach. Yeah. Shelo lachshosh elav, right? So what can we do in that situation? We can say one of those two possibilities is mivatel, right, and not worry about it. Mivnei. So one possibility of suffek is we have now that remember I said indeterminate for a reason. Now let's see how it branches out. One possibility is that we have competing identities. Okay, we have an object that is A and B, right, pushing against each other. So one mechanism of machria is to say one of those two ceases to exist. So imagine I have two identities competing in this object, okay? So what do I do, right? What do I do? It's got a little bit of A and a little bit of B. So one mechanism of hachra safek is to say B ceases to exist, okay? It just doesn't exist at all. Right. So again, we're still allowing for a chalo shem to emerge. But in this situation, we have these two competing identities.
But it's only just when there's two.
Or three.
Three.
No, two. It was just by two. Right. Okay, keep going. Mistapik. Right, okay. The second way is that there's not a real suffix in here. Okay, guys, listen to this. This is very important. We're not saying there's an actual suffix in the object. Okay, rather, what we're saying is that an actual suffix meaning there's a 50-50 split, competing identities. Rather, the kasher at sadli stopik rachuk meod mahistavrus. Right? No, what it really means is that it's 95% A and 5% B. Now I'll explain that in a second. Okay, v'nechshav kamo mehechitisi shahayakach inkan suffix klal. That's not a suffix. So that's the other way the Achra works. It's such a brilliant idea. I really found this to be very compelling. But he's saying like this. There's another kind of suffix. The other kind of suffix is we're like 99% certain that this thing is kosher. Okay? We're 99% certain. The problem is we have to take that last step forward. So the Achra suffix is erasing any residual doubt that's there. Now, I'm not playing a word game. There's a difference between saying that there's an object without defining it. There's an object that has in it A and B, right? Which are both present versus saying that there's an object that's 99% A, but there's some vestige of B still there. Meaning, halacha is telling you that this object is kosher, right? It's just that we just got to erase that last 1%. But that's not a suffix. That is not a suffix. You understand? It's not a suffix. What he's saying is that's not a suffix. A true suffix means I have equal presence of A and B in an object. The second type of achara suffix is saying it's not a real suffix. It's just that there's some residual leftover in there that we got to erase. Okay, one second. Let him present it in Rov and Karov. If you haven't figured out the punchline. Wait. The second one is saying that it's not. There's no real suffix here. It's like 99% kosher. Right. Okay, so when we go after Karov, right? So what we're going to say, Geder Dino, who she'ain kan suffik ha'shakol, u'gusha adam roa lefanov, talya b'tzad ha'karov. Nechshav ki'ilu she'ain roa tzad acher, shelo ha'istavar shel adam, he shezeu tzad ha'pashut. Right? U'mehechitisi lachshuk demruchak yoser. Okay? Okay, so what does that mean? No? You don't know what that means? Keep going. V'af shemisfar ha'pshuta, Mamish, TC, Achatora, B'mehechi TC, Ulekach Kol Ze Shayach, Hamechazik, Kitzad Echamehem, right? Ulam. What b'makom? Hahora'a shahalach achar rov. When we follow the position of saying we go after rov, lo ne'amar shlo l'stapik, we're not saying not to have a suffik. U'memela nolat suffik lefanenu. There's a suffik that it was introduced in front of us. The kevan. The karov does not have the power to be machria. Shari ikr din karavu. Be'enav she'en safek. V'lo lahachriya b'tzadei safek k'shino let safek gamor. It's beautiful. Because you have no idea what he's saying. What he's saying is like this. Okay, it may sound counterintuitive, but it makes this really beautiful idea. What he's saying, Rov is adav to karov. Why is Rov adav to karov? Because Rov was instituted to actually take situations of real safek and deal with it. Okay? So that's why, careful with the 50-50. Rov's job is to take a situation of an actual suffix and machria the suffix. That's its job. That's not what Karov does. Karov is like, well, I mean, let's take the way you put it, Yuri. It's like, okay, well, the body is a foot away from this town and a foot away from this town. We know, let's say it's a foot away from one town. There's a town, only one town, 5 feet away. So what are you going to say? Of course the murderer came from there. But is that definitive? So Karov comes along and said, the idea of Karov allows you to go, right, it takes you from that 95% and gives you the halachic means of saying the guy came from there, right? Because remember, I can't say 100% the guy came from the city, but come on, I mean, every detective in the world, it's like using, again, it's like using DNA as proof in court, right? DNA is like, if Chaim's fingerprints are on the weapon, 99.9% chance that you did it, right? But what Karov would do is Karov would say, or let's say put it in proximity terms, proximity would say, you now have the right to treat this as a vada. Okay? Even though it's not 100%. That's not a suffix, though. Rove deals with suffix. Karov doesn't deal with a suffix. A suffix has to be where there are competing chaloshems. There's an actual, like, we generally say both realities can exist. And now Rove can come along, we use something external to it to tell us what it is. But that's not Karov. Karov is simply saying, come on. I mean, like, well, you know, the guy came from here. Karov is the halachic matir to say, yes, you can proceed with the egla rufa. So I have a piece of meat in front of me. I don't know where that meat came from. So before I go to Rove, what do I say about the piece of meat?
It could be this or it could be that.
Okay, so right
it has,
now,
it has A or B.
Right, it has properties of A and B in it right now. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know which way to go. It's both kosher and treif at the same time. Right? It's both kosher and treif.
Right.
What do I do? Oh, so now Rove comes along and is the mechanism that's employed to resolve this state of this object. I don't care why we say it's Yuri. I don't care why we say it's kosher or treif. That's irrelevant. The point is, Rove comes along and it's going to be used to tell us what to do, right? We turn to something outside the object and say
it makes it A.
It makes it A, right? But so we use something outside of it to say it's A or B, okay? But by Karov, let's say the case of the meat, okay? When I have that meat, let's say I have two piles of meat, and the piece of meat I find is one, I'm being hyperbolic for a reason, 1 inch away from the kosher side. I'm not saying that inside the meat there's an actual question of whether it's kosher or treif. They're never interested in the scene, because it's sitting right there. It's kosher, right? It's just that I can't say 100% because it's not actually in the pile. But all evidence, all probability points to this thing being kosher. So what is Karov, what's Karov doing? Karov allows me to erase that last 1%. There's a 1% residual that's in there. Not treif. See, that's the term I'm trying to tell you. Suffolk.
Right. So it is.
Listen carefully. This is the idea. Listen carefully. There's a difference between saying in an object exists both kosher and treif, and I need to get rid of one of them, versus saying that it's 99% kosher. That doesn't mean it's 1% treif. It just means it's 99% kosher. No, it's 99% kosher. We just got to bring it to the 100%. We have to get rid of that 1% suffix. You're getting rid of the 1%. You're not saying it's 99% kosher and 1% treif, because you know why? You could never have a 99% kosher, 1% treif. That's absurd. Objects can't be 98% A and 2% B. This isn't like chemistry. This is halakhic categories. So what he's saying is, what does Karov do? I think this is fascinating. Karov means it's 99% kosher. All Karov is telling me is it erases that last 1% suffix. But it doesn't mean there's a 99% kosher, 1% treif. That's not what it's talking about. That's why, according to him, Rov trumps Karov. Rov trumps Karov because Rov is actually meant to deal with a true halachic suffix. A true halachic suffix means the object has in it two statuses. But that's not what's happening by Karov. By Karov, it's not that it's two statuses. It's 99% kosher, right? It's just that we can't move forward without erasing that 1%. Suffix derives to the Chumrah is if I don't have a mechanism machriya, then I do this. Yeah. If I don't have a rove. What you're asking though, but there is, in order, no one knows the answer to that. But what I can tell you is that's why you can sort of sense why the Gemara is telling you it's not just that rove is adif to karov because rove is the one that actually deals with suffix, but even more so, what? We never want to use karov, right? We always want to employ this system of rove, right? You know what I mean? In other words, karov only kicks in if we can't rely on rove, because we want a system that deals with suffix. Like the case with the without taking that too far of a next step, you can argue that karov, or if you want to put in more dependency terms, karov is dependent on rove. Karov only emerges because of rove. Meaning if I can't use rove, then karov emerges. So then you can even argue that its very identity, so to speak, is an emergent one from Rove. You know what I mean?
Understand that there's no suffix.